Welcome to Pastor Aggressive, Real Life, Real Faith, Real Talk.
Episode 11.
Episode 11. We made it 10 episodes in, and we're past that now.
And episode 10 was a special banger because we have Leo Tolstoy as Buzz Lightyear in the caption.
Buzz Lightyear is the...
Lightyear?
What a weird thing that definitely would not have lined up with his thoughts at all.
Tolstoy would be ashamed.
He'd be absolutely appalled by that.
But
that's okay.
We're working on video, so we're going to begin video here soon, hopefully.
What I love about this is that the quality just keeps getting better. We're not going backwards.
For the day ones, you know how our audio used to sound, and our audio is getting pretty good here now. So,
well, think about all those ones we just scrapped.
Oh, we had five in the chamber. Well, this is really episode 15 for us.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they all got deleted or corrupted or something like that.
Well, and we basically dumped them because they weren't very good either.
They weren't very professional.
Yeah. But now we're pros.
We were calling people like whores of Babylon.
I think we actually said that in one of the episodes that actually did get published.
Oh, oops.
You know, but if not, we did now. So it was in a biblical context.
Yes.
Get your minds out of the gutter.
Come on, guys.
Speaking of getting your minds out of the gutter, that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit today, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, with this new generation, man. We're going to be talking about, you know, the birds and the bees, quite literally.
Well, yes and no, but I think bigger picture. Yeah, exactly. So,
talking about the sun and the stars.
Because, yeah, that's good. Because the reality is that there's this, there's kind of like this pendulum swing kick back to, like, in the 90s, the purity culture was so, like, rampant in the church, especially, that there's like...
What's the purity culture?
Purity culture was like, there was this book, real trash book, and this guy has since deconstructed and said he doesn't even believe in God anymore, and
nice.
Turned into, like, now he's like this crazy anti this, and started basically classes on how to deconstruct and then charge people money for
it.
he's kind of scuzzy, but in the early 2000s he wrote this book called I Kissed Dating Goodbye, and it was about, like,
that was a horrible
about life. Like not dating and you know, not kissing girls before marriage and stuff like that.
Hey, I agree that you shouldn't kiss girls before marriage. I seriously agree.
I agree that there are things you should not do before marriage. But I don't know if I wouldn't say kissing would go under my list. But, you know, I do know a couple that didn't kiss until they were married, and as far as I know, they're still married. They ended up not liking me anymore, and they led a youth group with me, and we disagreed on how the youth group should be led, and then it ended kind of ugly, but I've since tried to have a conversation with them via social media, because that's the only way I know how to reach them, and haven't heard anything, but that's neither here nor there. I love them all the same. I'm grateful for the time that I had with them, because I think in that time that I had kind of like a conflict with leadership that I was also leading with was probably really good preparation for like being a pastor now. So I think there's some of that that's really, you got to go through some of that to get there.
Yeah.
None of that has anything to do with the fact that they didn't kiss before they got married, I don't think. although maybe, because that was part of it, was they were just like very, I'm not trying to trash talk. I'm just saying this is where our disagreement came from. Is they were very, way more strict on the youth group kids than I was. And that, like, they wanted to ban energy drinks because not all of the kids were allowed to have them. So they were like, well, if their parents won't let them, then this kid shouldn't be allowed to have them at youth group. And I just felt like that was kind of a weird rule. In hindsight, I kind of see what they were getting at, and probably might have been a good thing. I drink way too many energy drinks now, so...
Hey, Celsius, sponsor us.
Yeah, until RFK bans it all. But whatever.
Let's not get on the Nutella peanut butter.
I know. What am I going to do without my chocolate peanut butter?
Guys, eyewitnesses. I love you.
When Operation Dorito Delito
happened. Eyewitnesses. Warner had just got back from the gym. I pulled up to his church to do a podcast episode. And he takes a low-carb tortilla
out of a bag. Yeah, carb-smart tortillas, man.
And then puts a little Nutella in there, rolled it up. He's like, you want one? And he gave me one. And I smashed that thing. And it was fire. It was like a ghetto crepe.
First of all, I think of them more as like, not calzone. What's the, it's like an Italian dessert.
Yeah, with the cream in it.
I can't remember
what that's called.
But that's cannoli. Yeah, they're like cannoli. Low carb, poor man's cannoli. And what I do is I take low carb tortillas, I put chocolate peanut butter on them.
Chocolate peanut butter.
And then nice. I either use marshmallow fluff or Ready Whip.
Oh, you double bang it.
Either one. Yeah. And then I roll them up and then eat them.
So does chocolate peanut butter still taste like peanut butter?
It has a hint of peanut butter to it.
So it's like a Reese's cannoli.
Sort of, yeah. Yeah. Fine. I know, right? Like, I don't know why you're dogging on it.
But it's like after you get back from the gym, you know what I mean?
It's really high protein. And I use sugar-free and low-fat, sugar-free, fat-free Cool Whip or whipped cream, and then I use... that peanut butter is like 50% less sugar, so
okay, I concede.
It's low carb tortillas. Now sometimes I'll lightly butter the tortillas and like put them on a grill or something or in a pan, and so they crisp up a little bit, and then they're even better.
That's intense.
And then they really are like cannolis. But I really do like those, and I think that's like a totally healthy,
that's a good snack,
healthy snack treat, and. And I think it's delicious, and honestly, it's not that bad for me. And calories and carbs wise, way better than some of the other stuff I was smashing before that. I digress. Anyway,
what were we talking about?
Energy drinks There was a rule in the youth group that they wanted to make it a rule that the kids couldn't have energy drinks, and then they wanted to make it a rule that kids couldn't wear band T-shirts because a lot of the kids were into like. Rightfully so, and this is all my influence. They were really into like hardcore and metal Christian bands. Sick. And so they were wearing like these really cool, like, you know, Demon Slayer shirts and stuff.
Sick.
And but then like there were a couple kids that weren't allowed to wear those things, so then they were like, we need to make it fair for everyone.
And
I was like, rules that the youth group shouldn't be like. I was very, like, small government, like, states decide thing. Like, if their parents make that decision for them, that's fine, but I don't want to make that a youth group rule.
That's the thing is, like, look, I'm not a parent, and I don't know what I'm talking about, but my unimportant perspective is, like, let's teach our kids that when they go out in public, not everybody's going to be like them, and that's okay. You're going to live to a certain set of rules that... other people aren't.
So fine. Was I right about that or not? I think there was probably room. You know me, I'm someone who is now I take correction very well. I did not back then.
Sure.
And I think that's probably why the conflict happened.
But we love you guys.
Would I change that? I don't know. Yeah, probably. I don't know. But regardless, that's neither here nor there. That has nothing to do with the fact that they didn't kiss before they were married. Okay, we had to stop for a second. We got interrupted by my children. That's okay.
And Roger. Don't leave Roger.
And Roger. Roger. Really, it was Roger more than anything.
Yeah.
Lots of barking from that little guy. So we're talking about purity culture and all that. And so basically, sure. Purity culture was this like hyper-focus on abstaining from sex, but to the extent of it was more than abstaining from sex. It was like completely avoid...
women,
incels, any kind of relationship at all. Like, there used to be this joke about Bob Jones College. Are you familiar with Bob Jones?
David went to Bob Jones College.
I think at one time it was a very legalistic Christian Bible college, but I know a lot of people that came from there. Really good,
dude.
People.
Those missionaries we met in Honduras went to Bob.
Oh yeah,
Bob Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, so I know a lot of people, good people that came from there, but there used to be this joke that they had pink and blue sidewalks, meaning that like girls and boys had to walk on the other ends of the campus and couldn't be near each other because they had such strict rules and stuff. But anyway, that's what I'm talking about. And so like, I think what's happened is we've swung the opposite way, and this is what happens with deconstruction and with all these things where people. there is real, and we've talked about this, there is true religious trauma, and people who have been abused in like a church setting,
yeah.
in a religious setting. But there's also just like, I've been inconvenienced by church theology, so now I'm drastically going the other way.
I want to do what I want to do.
Right, right. And I think that's, so we've got the, and that's an extreme too. And so then we've got that opposite extreme now where it's like, well, I'm going to do whatever I want with whoever I want because I'm just strictly opposed to how I was brought up, you know?
Or there's this, which maybe is a minor thing going on in the church, but... like what we were talking about off air, maybe this is a little explicit for the podcast.
No, go ahead. Real talk.
We watched this YouTube video of this porn star who professed to be a Christian.
Yeah.
And her whole thing was like, well, Jesus tells you not to judge and I'm going to be forgiven and God has blessed me with all these opportunities. And yeah. I'm like, there is like a culture of that, of like people who are saved off of watching a TikTok video of somebody print, like just some prosperity nonsense.
Sure.
And then they don't understand the realness of repentance and the way Jesus calls us to live, which is what our last two podcast episodes have mostly been about.
Yeah.
So they fall into this deconstructed, I live how I want because Jesus is going to forgive me anyway.
Yeah. But so it could be one of two. Like it could be like they've completely turned away from their faith.
Right.
And so they live how they want because they're like, I'm free from these rules.
Right.
Or the Christian liberty approach of just like, oh, I can do whatever I want because I'm saved and I don't have to worry about consequences.
Right.
And that's also not, so there's two extremes here. But all of that to say, there is a clear design in Scripture. God lays it out, lays out the plan. Don't hate on me. Don't come at me and, criticize me because I'm not affirming whatever thing you believe or whatever. We're just spitting what the Bible says here.
Yeah.
And we're gonna talk about that and how we contextualize that in our own lives. And we are both on different areas of that.
Different playing fields
currently.
Yeah.
So I say currently because you could still get married at some time. We don't know.
Never.
Yeah,
you
sometimes talk like you're never going to. Who knows?
Hey, man, I'm okay with that.
That's your prerogative, my friend. But
why do you say it like that, bro? Come on, man. So what if I want to be a single loser?
No, it's fine. it's fine. I'm not judging you.
Yeah, right.
That's
because you're not supposed to.
Yeah, because okay. It's not for me to judge. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
anyway. What spurred this conversation is, like all of our podcast conversations, is it came from a conversation we were just having just because we're buds and we talk on the phone sometimes. I mentioned this, you talk about it a lot. Like
I'm passionate about
this. Yeah, you're passionate about the subject. And so I brought up this because I thought, oh, this would be interesting to Zach. This verse from Matthew 19, and basically God is, or Jesus is confronting the Pharisees about their approach to divorce.
Right.
But in doing so, he lays out the ground rules for like, for marriage and celibacy and like all of it.
Sure.
In this, because that's what Jesus does, is he doesn't just like, out of context, answer your question. Yeah. Like sometimes
he answers your question and any like contrary thoughts you could have yeah. to the answer.
He's like, here's the point, counterpoint, and further counterpoint that you might have. So basically, it says this in 19.
Matthew?
Yeah. Some Pharisees came to Jesus. Matthew 19, verse 3. Some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? Now, mind you, when they at this point, they're already trying to catch him. Like right. they're trying to catch him slipping. Make him say something that will get him in trouble.
Yeah.
And so they've come with several questions to this point, and there's more to come after this, but this one really addresses the issue. So, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? And he answered and said, have you not read, and I love that, when Jesus says that, he's like, you need to get in the word more.
Yeah.
But he's like, you know, so he says, have you not read, he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said for this reason, A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate.
I am.
Yeah. And then they said to him, why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce? And they're quoting scripture here. And send her away. He said to them, and this is so great, like, Jesus drops this bar where he's like, because you guys couldn't handle it because you weren't man enough to be married. He says, because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it has not been this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. So we've talked about Tolstoy a ton the last
sexual immorality or just immorality?
It just says immorality. Some translations say sexual immorality.
Yeah, mine says sexual immorality.
And we've talked about Tolstoy a ton in the last 2 weeks, so I don't want to really get into a whole lot of what he says here. But in his commentary on this, he says that, like, basically Jesus is saying that the reason that they would give their wives a divorce is so that they could be
right with another
sexually
woman.
Immoral. Like, I'm dumping my wife so I can be with another woman.
Right.
And so, like, he's basically saying, you've already done this in your heart. You've already committed adultery. You're doing this for the wrong reasons in the first place.
Right.
And so so that's what he's saying there. So the disciples said to him, if the relationship of a man with his wife is like this, it is better not to marry.
Yeah.
And this is what Paul says later. And this is what First Zach 17:3 says.
I quote this a lot because there is, like, a huge culture of marriage in Christianity, which is awesome.
Yep.
Marriage is awesome. You know, the marriage between a man and a woman is like the relationship between Jesus and the church, or it should be in design.
Right.
And it's a beautiful thing. I wished for a long time that I found my soulmate, but I searched and I searched and I searched in all the wrong places, and I even found the right one, it felt like, recently, and I was going through the motions, and I was just like, I don't think this is for me, man.
Yeah.
I think the things the Lord has laid on my heart, I can't do currently in a relationship, or I haven't found the right one to aid me in that. But this will lead us into our topic about celibacy versus marriage.
Yeah. And so here's what Jesus has to say about that. But he said to them, not all men can accept this statement, but only those to whom it has been given.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. And then he goes on about eunuchs, which there's an argument about what this means. 'Cause eunuchs, obviously, culturally, that means, like, men who have been castrated for the purpose of service.
Sure.
In old times, that doesn't really happen now. Some modern translations will, like, they'll use this to get into the whole transgender debate, and that's not what he's saying here. But basically, what he continues to say is, he says there are eunuchs who were born that way from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are also eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. He who is able to accept this, let him accept it. Basically, he's saying you could replace this word eunuch here with people who are celibate.
Right.
He's saying there are people who are born to be single. There are people who are single because their life conditions that men have put on them has caused them to not be able to get married.
Right.
Or there are people who choose to not be married for the sake of the kingdom of heaven.
Right. And to clarify, he says choose to not be married for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, not for the sake of yourself.
Right.
A lot of people want to be single because Jesus is saying, although you are single, you must remain holy. Or Paul, rather, says
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he says you must remain holy, which means celibate.
Sexually immoral. Not masturbating, watching porn, not sleeping around with women.
Exactly.
Not flirting around with women. That's why earlier when you're talking about this Bob Jones thing, I'm not on the level of walk. Like, when I see a woman across the street, I'm cordial with women. I love women.
You'll wreck your car to not look at a hot chick on the street, though, right?
Shout out to the last episode. but, like, so I really have struggled with lust. So now, I can't remember this guy's name, but there's this Orthodox pastor on YouTube, priest, and he's this big old guy, and he does these, like, videos out in the wilderness. And he did a video about lust, And that's when I was really struggling with porn. So I'm like watching all these videos on lust. And he says, you look at a woman on the street and you lust after her, but you look at your sister and you love her. And he was correlating the difference between lust and love. So I practice loving women like they're my sister, like I love my brothers. But what I try to flee from is lusting after women. And that ultimately is kind of what leads you to marriage. I mean, I suppose you could love a woman so much that you would want to marry her. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think leads you to marriage? What led you and your wife to marry?
Was there sex? Any... No.
no. That booty.
I want to come back to this verse a little bit, and then I'll address that. Okay. Because I was just looking at the Greek here, and this is interesting, actually. So the first time he says it, he actually, when he says maid eunuchs, it literally, he's talking about, like, people who have been castrated. So that's actually what he's talking about here. But when he refers to those who are willingly eunuchs, he's talking about maintaining a life of celibacy, not like castrating themselves.
Whew, so good.
Yeah.
I was not trying to castrate myself. Just in case, you know what
I'm saying? Right, in case anyone was just wondering. So back to the topic of why did I get married? Well, I've talked about this before. I don't think I talked to you about it on the podcast, but I talk about it a lot in my life. Part of it was stubbornness, getting married as young as I did, because I got married when I was 18.
Right, as soon as you graduated high school.
Yes, correct. And it came from, like, I was super in love with this chick from the beginning, but I made it clear from the beginning that I was looking for, I was not going to date just to frivolously date.
Sure.
It was with the intention of, like, finding a future spouse.
Sure.
So I made that clear from the beginning. We were going to go to college and get married after. And I, you know, there's a lot of people that like ends up falling apart, and maybe that's the good that it fell apart. Sure. Or whatever because of that. But I was like, I don't really want to do that. And I don't really, I think we could probably do college and be married. And I think that's possible. And we could have done it way better. Cause I think there's like financial aid for that. And there's like, married people dorms that are basically like apartments, and I didn't know any of this when I went, and so we actually like just commuted to college, and that sucked, and things were really rough, and financially we struggled, and all these things is why I would advise against getting married young for the most part. All of that to say, basically her parents and my parents were both like, because we were like, when would you be okay with us getting married? Which is kind of a weird thing to ask. But
not really.
Tiffany's parents specifically, my parents were like, whatever you want to do. You know, they were married pretty young anyway. I think my mom was 18 and my dad was only like 20 or something. So we're 22 or something. Perfect. However different their age gap is, I can't remember. But they were fairly young. But then her parents were like, well, if you think you can afford to live on your own and be married, then do it. So then I crunched a bunch of numbers and was like, well, if we do this and we do this and we go to college here and we do this, then definitely we can. Yeah. And so it was kind of like, I wouldn't say it was all for spite, but there was a little bit of like, oh, okay, I'll show you I can. Yeah. And so, I don't know. That probably was not the right reason to get married, but I'm happy that we got married when we were young.
Well, I guess I think of your dad, because I was talking to your mom. I remember, dude, we were going out to lunch, because after your dad passed away, we were going out to lunch every month or so. And I told her, I was like, yeah, I'm just really struggling with something and I can't shake it. And she just knew. I didn't want to tell her, obviously. She's like my freaking grandma, dude. And she's like, yeah, Ben struggled with it too. I'm like, you talking about porn? She's like, yeah. Honestly, that's why we got married, was for sex.
Yeah.
And that's not a horrible thing.
Yeah.
People think that's an atrocious thing because of Lifetime movies and Christmas movies, but it's like, no, we get married to form a relationship and have sex under the confines of marriage.
Right. And my dad had this really intense conversation with us once about like the trajectory of marriage. And he drew this diagram that like to this day sticks out in my mind. I think about this all the time. And I think this is really a very, it's really good. I don't know where he got it. It might've been original Calvin. Of his. It might've been just something he got from some mentor of his. I don't know. But he drew this picture and he's like, the design for marriage or the design for sex is within marriage. And he's like, so when you reach that point in marriage, then it's like you've come together and you're one flesh, like what the Bible says.
Sure.
He's like, but outside of marriage, he's like, this is what happens. And he's like, you take these two things and then when they reach that point, then they continue to go.
Sure.
And so then it actually causes you to drift apart because now there's not like this reasonable connection.
Sure.
And so it was like, instead of a pyramid coming to its peak and staying firm, it's like it created an X where the two points are going in opposite directions. Yeah. And that like, that rattled me, man. I was like, oh man. And it was challenging, but it made me like, it made us stay true to that.
So what are the benefits of reserving yourself until marriage?
I think there's a few things, and this is, I can only go off of my own experience.
Sure.
So like, I've had people say before, they're like, well, then how would you even know that your partner would be good at sex if you haven't tried it out? And I'm like, well, you don't know. And I would argue that probably at the beginning, neither one of us were.
Yeah.
But there's two things to that. One, having shared that thing with just each other is like such a special thing.
Sure.
Like there's not like there, that in itself is like something that I was like, I would wish this for anyone.
It's like,
that
it's
they
like,
would just have this.
On the contrary, it's like getting a Christmas gift that's already been opened.
Right. Like, okay. So, hey, this is a good analogy. Actually, I really like, not everything is an anecdote, Zach, but I love this. This actually works. So like as a grown adult, you have your own money.
Mm-hmm.
And so like Tiffany and I just like buy, like when we get into like October, we just buy things for ourselves and then just like put them in the closet and the other one wraps them for Christmas. I know everything I'm getting for Christmas. She knows everything she's getting for Christmas. And it does. It takes some of the specialness out of the Christmas gift, right? Yeah. Like I know about these cool dress shoes I have that I'm getting for Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, and I'll still enjoy them.
Right.
But I maybe know about them. And the surprise is not going to be there. So that's actually a really good analogy. I like that. So one thing is that you will always then have that special moment. Like that special connection. That's something special. Two, comparison is such an unhealthy thing in every aspect of our lives.
Absolutely.
Because comparison, even when we're comparing ourselves to other people, just creates jealousy. Which is unhealthy. It's not good. I'm very careful with my kids. Like, they'll be like, I'm the worst kid ever, or I'm no good at this thing. And it's like, that kind of talk about yourself is so dangerous. And so comparison is just it's a lie of the devil, and it sucks. And I think when you have not only had one partner, then there's always going to be that comparison in your mind. There's just like, there's no way around that.
Yeah.
So that would be another benefit too. But the other thing, and this is where it's like, you know, real talk, and this could get too much for people. I don't know. It, like if you're
muddying up the water,
a friend that doesn't want to hear this stuff or a family member that's like, ew, I don't want to hear about that. One other thing is that then as you do get good at it, you're getting good together.
Growing.
And then it's like, that's cool. That's like fun. You're like,
Oh,
we're learning what each other like and how to respond to each other. And it's just, that is a cool thing in itself that you don't get if you're both already at like your sexual peak or whatever.
Yeah, that's, you know? But that's kind of like when Paul says like, a man's body is not his own, it's his wife's. A wife's body is not her own, it's her husband's.
So this is a conversation I've had in marriage counseling several times. Sometimes people take it very well, sometimes people do not. I'm not going to divulge any of that because obviously that's like, I don't know what it is. It's not a HIPAA violation. I'm not a doctor. I made a HIPAA violation joke the other day at church. because I had my microphone. I always sling it over my shoulder, the ear microphone, whenever I'm whenever we're getting to that last time.
The altar call. Because
in case I'm going to pray with people at the altar, sure. I don't want people to hear, accidentally hear whatever. They turn the microphone off, but I don't want it there to be a fluke or whatever. Right. And so I made a joke about, I'm like, I don't know if this is a HIPAA violation or what it is, but that's why I lose my microphone. So I don't think that's what it is. I don't know what you call it in the context of counselor, counselee.
It's a HIPAA violation.
HIPAA violation.
HIPAA violation.
I don't know what the no, I'm just kidding. The difference between counselor, counselee, confidentiality, whatever it is. So I'm not going to go into details. But this is a conversation that I've had, and this verse I've used several times. And I think you looked up the verse, did you not?
Yeah, I can read it.
Yeah, it's in 1 Corinthians, maybe?
1 Corinthians 7.
All right.
Do not, chapter 7, verse 5. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So you can conclude or infer that when he says come together again,
yeah,
he's talking about sexual relations.
And he talks about not withholding, and I talk to people about this in marriage counseling a lot of times about not weaponizing sex.
Sure.
Making it withholding as a punishment or
a gift.
Giving it as a reward is just not healthy. That's not good. It messes up intimacy, and it distorts the image of God's intimacy with us.
Right. Sure.
Because it makes it a thing that I have power over you, right?
Yeah.
And this can go even further and become a real to an abusive level, right?
Right.
So it is really dangerous. So, but notice, and this is where people switch the Bible around all the time. They'll talk about how women need to be submissive to their husbands and not mention the fact that it says that men are supposed to love their wives like Christ loved the church in that he gave his life for them.
To serve, not to be served.
Right. And so they cut out that part. Same here. They talk about a woman's not supposed to withhold her body from her husband. It also says husbands don't do that to your wives either. Right. It's basically your body is not your own anymore. And not in a weird, gross, abusive way, that's mine, I'm going to take what I want.
Take your clothes off, that's mine.
And let me, again, I like, this is my catchphrase here, but don't hear what I'm not saying.
Yeah.
I am absolutely opposed to, and I don't ever want to hear anyone I know say, this disgusting thing that I'm seeing on the internet where men are saying, your body, my choice. Two wrongs don't make a right. That is not
evil with evil.
That is a horrible thing to say, and that's not what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is, when you are married, this is a covenant relationship, and that you should desire to want to give of yourself.
Right.
And so that's what this is all about. And so Paul says this. He says, don't withhold it just to withhold it. If you're withholding it, make sure it's for a purpose of
fasting and prayer,
but then come back together. And I've used this verse before with people, and I've literally had people tell me who are misusing and weaponizing sex in their marriage relationships, and I've had them tell me, well, that's not what that verse means. And I'm like, I don't want to be that guy, because I am not someone who's like, well, I'm right, you're wrong. But I have studied this scripture pretty thoroughly, and I assure you, it is telling you not to weaponize sex and your body.
Yeah, and Paul even addresses what you just said at the end of the chapter. He says, "And those who use this world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing."
Right.
So don't misuse this doctrine.
Right.
Something I wanted to say. That just slipped my mind. Let me go back and read this verse real quick. He also says what happens if you don't come together again is that Satan, he doesn't say Satan will, but he says come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Yeah. So look at guys in a marriage that are watching porn.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably because of a lack of sexual attraction or sex within a relationship. So now they're seeking this somewhere else.
Right.
And they're seeking it in sexually immoral ways.
Now, I don't want to justify that and give it
an excuse. It's not on the woman.
Give it an excuse. But I can tell you that a healthy sex life inside of a marriage definitely deters any kind of lustfulness.
Right.
Like, there a healthy sex life in a marriage is never going to cause you to desire lustful things.
And another cool thing about what you said about only being with one partner ever is that there's probably not as much temptation to want to try out other people. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
You have all what you need. You have your satisfaction.
And again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier about like learning together. If you have a healthy sexual relationship inside of a marriage, then you can say, hey, I want to try this thing. And it's not like weird. You know what I mean?
Filthy jokes cooking in my head, dude.
But like you can have those conversations and not feel dirty about it.
Right.
And that's like, that can be such a cool thing. And there's people who say like, you know, the only sex that's intended in marriage is, you know,
missionary
or whatever. And I don't subscribe to that at all. I read this book when I was getting married. I think it was called Intended for Pleasure. And I'm sure there's things in that book that are not good either.
Yeah.
But it was written from a Christian perspective. It's a biblical, like, this is what the Bible says about these things. And where it doesn't speak on things specifically, it says that, you know, the Bible doesn't really say anything here. But it doesn't, I felt like it was a really good, for me as a young man, it was a really good book. And I don't know, I haven't read this in almost 20 years. But when I read it, actually it has been 20 years since I read this book. But when I read it, I felt like it made me feel better. It made me feel not like gross about sex. Because that's the other thing that people will say is like, well, if you've been brought up in this like sex is bad culture, then when you get married and you haven't had sex, then it's going to feel weird and feel dirty and all this stuff. And I've known people that have had that experience. But if you're honest and open about it and you have that conversation, you're like, look, I know that this was what God intended and how it was intended. And then you can kind of all of that shame is not there anymore.
Right.
So that's also helpful. Now, and I don't want to get into this super deep because I don't know what people's arguments for or against this would be. I've not really looked that deeply into it, but I've known some people who will say like, well, but you know, God intended sex for multiplication only, and so if you're done having kids, then you should be done having sex. And I'm like, that doesn't jive with the scripture that you just read about Paul. That Paul tells
the married people. No, to satisfy your lusts.
Yeah, because he doesn't say, he doesn't say this is only for the young married couples or the people that are like still trying to have kids or whatever. So,
and that, I mean,
and honestly, that kind of doctrine really comes from a place of like, I think really more of like a population, like nationalist, like we need to populate our nations kind of thing.
Yeah, it's literally just a church doctrine. But he does, I want to hit on what you just said and actually quote from Paul here.
Yeah.
He says, but if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody knows that one right there.
And so to answer your question from earlier, very honestly and very openly, that is probably why I got married so young, to be honest.
Well, I mean,
we were dating for all of high school. So like 4 years we were dating. And like there definitely was like some anticipation for sure.
Tiffany talked to me about this.
Yeah,
your wife talked to me about this. She was like, she told me that you made it clear that you guys wouldn't have sex until you were married.
Yeah.
And so she's like, well, let's get married.
Yeah.
I'm ready to do it.
Yeah. So that's like that's a side effect of that. Another side effect of that, and I think this is a good side effect, is like and I don't know, maybe Tiffany would have a different perspective here. Maybe she would think it's annoying, but, I'm in my late 30s now and I still sometimes feel like I'm like a 15-year-old boy who's like fascinated by this
like a rabbit
chick, you know, I'm like, oh man, my wife's so hot, you know, like, so that like, that kind of stuff, yeah. I think that comes from a place of being married so young,
yeah,
and having a healthy relationship, and that's all good stuff. I don't see a downside to that if you're in a healthy consensual marriage relationship.
And so, something I think is cool about this is it is probably my personal belief. You can kind of back this up with doctrine from what Jesus was saying in Matthew. I think some people are called to a marriage. Like, if you guys saw some pictures of Warner when he was in high school, it's a miracle that he got married. No, I'm just kidding. But
I had those giant chops,
dude.
And then, like, the Guy Fieri spike.
Yeah,
hair.
Yeah.
It wasn't frosted tips, but I was one good salon day away from frosted tips, man.
You were a fly dude, man. But
yeah.
These things are God ordained, and I think to contrast now, I think some men are God ordained to be celibate, and yeah, Jesus says that.
I think that's true.
So I want to contrast in the same chapter. This is a fire chapter for any young guys reading this. Chapter 7, verse 17. Paul says, I'm sorry, verse 32. Wow, what the heck? But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord and how he may please the Lord. Mm. And he says, he goes on about it. He says, the unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit.
Yeah.
But she who is married cares about the things of this world, how she may please her husband, which is not, he's not condemning this. So yeah, he's not condemning it, and this is how I know he's not condemning it. He says, in this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction.
Yeah, that's good.
He's definitely not condemning, he's not condemning marriage, but he is saying there is more to be done outside of the confines of marriage. But if you look at a guy like Warner, I'm about to put you up on a pedestal here. Warner leads his church. He leads tons of events. Every Thursday, he's out on the square praying for people. We're doing this podcast. Every time I talk to him, he has something new, some new ministry. He's doing this. He's doing this alcohol recovery or this drug addiction recovery yeah, ministry. And it's like, bro, he's doing all this on top of being married. But this is the cool thing about being married in a godly relationship that I see out of your guys' relationship, is that she aids you in your ministry.
Yeah.
And she has her own ministries, yeah, in which you aid her in.
Yep.
Now, I will say she aids you significantly more from what I've seen. but you got a lot going on. So, like, this is the cool thing about marriage, is that you guys are partners in ministries. Partners in Christ.
Yeah.
So, like, you guys are working together to serve the kingdom. But as a single guy, I realized this in the last little fling I had, you're pulled away from certain things you could be doing to serve the kingdom, to spend a little more time with this woman, especially in the early stages, I think.
Man, this episode is already, like, not maxed out, but we've got a little bit of time here. But I probably have less time than I want to give this. But so we're going to, if we have to go long, we have to go long. I know you probably, I don't know if you're planning on getting out of here or what we're doing.
No, I kind of have a lot more to go on.
Yeah. So I was thinking about so many things running through my head. I hope I can keep this all straight. One thing is, I forgot my first thing. Let me go ahead and say the thing I remember now. There's this idea of, you're talking about completing each other's ministry and helping, being partners in Christ, and
sure,
and what that looks like. And there's this question of, and this is a fear people really have, of like, will I know my spouse in heaven? And there's no, you know, there's like this idea that there's no marriage in heaven. And I believe Jesus speaks to this a little bit when they talk about, no one will be given to marriage in heaven and all this stuff, because they're talking about, like, if someone marries seven different guys because their husband keeps dying, then when they get to the resurrection, who's their husband?
Sure.
And I don't want to get into all of that, but there is, I saw someone once say that, like, okay, so that can be a sad thought for someone who's married, to be like, oh man, so I'm not married in heaven. But he's like, even if that's the case, like, there has to be. Some special, like, can you imagine getting to heaven and, like, you're still going to have a special connection to that person in that, like, thank you for being part of my sanctification on earth. Thank you for being part of my closeness to God,
yeah,
on earth. because it is that partnership thing. Like, yeah. I could not do ministry to the level that I do it without Tiffany.
Yeah.
And so, like, he was talking about, like, how special is that? It, regardless of, like, whatever, like, we have no idea what eternity is going to be like.
Mm.
Unless we're Tolstoy. And which we're, and which we're like, scrap it. Everything you do on earth, that's the important thing. I think that's, like, this beautiful sentiment of, like, realizing that you are still, you're connected through that ministry relationship.
Yeah, I think something I've noticed the most from being single on the outside and being close with my married friends is that they complete one another.
Yeah.
My friend Braden, he wasn't really a Christian. He professed to be Christian. He would say all this, and I say all this with love, knowing that he doesn't mind that I share it because it's his testimony. So he was pretty unsaved, but he starts dating his wife. And his wife was part of the church. His wife's parents have been part of the church forever. Her grandparents established my church.
That's awesome.
So she's a diehard Christian. And Braden comes into the church, and he's like sitting there, and he's like getting intrigued, but intrigued in a way that he thinks everything our pastor's saying is crazy. So then he had a Bible, and he would go to his Bible and he would read it, and that's what made him read it. Is you'd think this guy's crazy, and he'd read it and he'd come to the conclusion that, oh wait, what this guy's saying is true. And then over and over and over again, this process of small victories for the Lord that won the war, he becomes saved, and through him being saved, he has helped his wife, who was already saved, become more sanctified, as she helps him become more sanctified. And that's just like a crazy thing to think about, is this dude isn't even saved, comes in after like years of the process of salvation, becomes saved, becomes inflamed in the Lord, and then in turn helps this person that's always been in the church grow to an extreme that she may not have gone to without him.
So I remember the other thing I wanted to say, so I'm going to keep that in the back of my mind because I want to respond to what you just said. This is really good. So what you were just talking about, this is why Paul later in Scripture tells people if they are married to an unbeliever...
Stay married.
To stay married.
Yeah.
Because he says you are their righteousness. Basically, he's saying you're the witness to these people.
Yeah.
So in leaving them over this, if you get say if you're you know if you're married to an unbeliever, and you are the only example of Christ that they have, and you leave them, that is going to give them some serious abandonment issues with Christ.
Yeah.
That's wild, right?
No.
So I think that's what you're talking about with like. She helped lead him to the Lord and like bring him to that place.
Yeah.
That she, God used her in that way. And that's amazing.
And then God used him on her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he used that, and that's so cool. So this actually ties into what the other thing I was going to talk about. There's also this church culture thing that kind of ran rampant in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I saw it a lot in churches I was coming up in. And I'm not saying this is always wrong, but it's kind of that thing where we have to be careful with the prophetic. Not everyone is prophetic.
Sure.
And so you got to be careful that like you're not just saying stuff that you want to happen and saying that it was God that said it. And I say this fully knowing that I know people that had this thing happen and are in healthy relationships, and I think it really was ordained of God. But I've seen several young men over the course of the years court a young lady who they may not have even met, but they think is super attractive and in church. And they're like, God told me that we need to get married. And it's like, okay, maybe he did.
Sure.
I definitely don't think in all of those cases do. In fact, I know in all of those cases, not all of those cases he did, because I know a couple of guys who probably said that to two or three different people before it stuck. Right. So, but all of that to say is I have some friends that is how they got married, and they are doing very well. And I do think that they complete each other. They help each other with their ministry. They're both really good, godly people. And actually, I know a few couples like that, actually. where that was the case. And I think that, so there is a place for it, but I think it's one of those things that gets overused. We think, you know, we see these scriptures and we think, oh, well, God ordains marriage, then maybe he's telling me, because I'm attracted to this person, that he's telling me that's my person.
I've been a victim to this trap, and I read the scripture and I thought maybe it pertained to me, but I don't think the scripture is for everybody, and I might even disagree with Paul on this, and I think I can say that because he says, but to the rest, I, comma, not the Lord say. So it's, Paul addresses, I'm very saying cool. this,
yeah.
not the Lord.
Yeah, that's good.
But I'd say this is true in some cases. Not a commandment of Jesus, but I'd say this is true in some cases. Like, so there's this girl I was doing security, and she was a cleaning lady, and I was 19. She was 27 with two kids, dude. But I was totally friend-zoned, but I thought I could save her.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
I thought
really
I could
cool,
save this chick, dude. And I got saved in the midst of the end of that, and I'm like, yeah, this is not happening.
Yeah.
And I realized in that moment that there's a reason this isn't working for me. There's
right.
a reason dating and this and that isn't working for me. And for a long time, I was confused whether or not it was an excuse because I was scared of relationships. You know, the way I grew up, my dad was not around and my mom had to be like the man of the house. So I never understood intimacy. Not in like a sexual way, but in a love, just a love way.
When we say intimacy as a sexual thing, that is a symbol of intimacy.
Right.
That is not.
If I'm talking about sexual intimacy,
yeah.
I would say boning. That's what I'm... No, I'm just kidding. No, but
this might be my favorite episode. I don't know if you know this.
I didn't understand love until I met your dad, and little did I know I was meeting the Lord through your dad.
Yeah.
But I want to go into. I'm now concluded that I am okay if I'm single the rest of my life. And Paul says this, and I don't have it right here because okay. He who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. A wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. He's reiterating what Jesus says. Earlier on, which I guess I can read because it pertains to what we're talking about. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment. And I think I also have the Spirit of God.
That's good. What is that from? Where's that?
1 Corinthians 7.
Dude, 1 Corinthians is a great book for, like, what does love look like? What is marriage look like? What does intimacy look like?
And if you talk to some, like, Baptist guys, they'll be like, this is the laws of marriage. But no, this is more than the laws of marriage.
Yeah,
This is spiritual guidance.
Yeah.
For young guys, especially, or older people, widows.
I have a pastor friend named Johnny. He's a pastor in Florida. He actually is the pastor at my sister's church where my niece works, all this stuff. He encourages young men to get married if they are mature enough to do so.
Right.
Because of this, all of this stuff, like he is an advocate for young marriage, and all of his kids that are married all got married like I think like the 19 to 22 range, like but it's because they understood this relationship and the severity of it and the seriousness of it because they were raised in that. They saw like what a healthy relationship looks like when it's centered in Christ.
Right.
And that's, man, if this is like what we talked when we talk about like keeping the commandments of Christ from last week's episode, and you talk about how if everyone were to do that, then the world would just be a better place. Like,
right.
There would not be violence in the world if everyone was doing that.
Right.
Same with this. I don't think we would have the sexual aggressiveness or sexual assault or the things like that if everyone treated it with the severity and seriousness that it that it, the weight that it holds.
Well, what tempts people to go and rape somebody or sexually assault somebody? It's, and if I were to guess, it's oftentimes being neglected in society or like want, like, because we have, I mean, it's God this, says it, we have this urge written on our
it's
heart.
It's the distortion of the desire.
Right. So we have this. This is a good desire.
Yeah.
The desire to have sex with a woman is not a bad desire. But because we have the desire does not mean we should act on it however we will. And that's where the relationship with Jesus comes in.
Within the confines
yes.
of the design. That's why we see all of this. Yeah, that's...
I am going to make a bold claim real quick.
We could get real heavy here.
Something that is infuriating me right now is, in culture is the deconstruction of marriage.
Yep.
So people are trying to be like all open and stuff, and I don't hate gay people. I don't at all. But like gay people getting married. There is... Like we talk about morals and we talk about marriage and this and that, and we've redefined marriage as a government acknowledgement of two entities coming together.
Yeah.
That is not how marriage originated.
Right, right.
Marriage is a sanctity between two entities, a covenant to
it's
the Lord.
It's a covenant.
To the Lord, not to the government. And this is like whole Tolstoy on you. Not to the government, not to your friends, not to your family. It is. It is those things. But importantly, it is a covenant, a promise to God.
I mentioned Tolstoy to some friends of mine in a group text we had, and I said, guys, I think I'm accidentally becoming a Christian anarchist. And these guys are all about puns and wordplay.
Sure.
And one of them said, you mean an anarchist? And I laughed so hard. I was like, that's really good.
What, like antichrist?
No, but like anarchist and Christ. So anarchist. Dude, that's I was like, stupid. That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, we're like Calvinists, but we're like Stoianists.
I wouldn't go that far. I still disagree with the man on a lot of stuff, including War and Peace is not
trash.
For me. That book is no good for me.
We don't like literature classics.
I don't like literary classics. Well, you want to know my thoughts on this? This is just a little. This thing's almost done. We gotta wrap it up. But this is just a little fun bit for the end.
Okay.
If I want to read fiction, I'm not going to read historical fiction, okay? If I want to read fiction, I want time travel. Yeah. I want talking animals. I want monsters and aliens and laser guns.
Yeah.
I want it to be wild.
But that stuff is becoming less cool the more real it gets. it's becoming less. We need something crazy, dude. Which leads us to our next episode about aliens
and monsters and demons. Yeah, so now we've committed to it. Next time, next episode's going to have to be about studying. That. The Nephilim. Ugh. All right. Anyway, dude, this was a great episode. I really enjoyed it. I hope it was good for everybody else. I hope it was consensually good for everyone else. That was a stupid joke. Anyway, So I think I don't have my notes pulled up, but I think that's everything I wanted to talk about. Is that everything you wanted to talk about on this?
Yeah, I'm good. I just want to hit off with. If you feel compelled to be married, search for that woman. If you feel compelled to be celibate, don't be ashamed of that, especially in today's culture. Rejoice in that, because I think celibacy is a gift, as is marriage.
I say this all the time with altar calls, but I think this is relevant to this too. Don't just do something because everybody else is doing it. Don't just go to the altar because you think there's something magic about the altar.
Sure.
But there is something spectacular about obedience. So if you feel called to marriage, then respond to that call. Be obedient to that call. If you feel called to celibacy, be obedient to that call. Whatever you do in either of those things, be holy. So that, I swear, I'm going to all, God's spirit, come back now. Neither should you. Stay with us.